Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swing on the way. It's gone! It is well with my soul in Montgomery! Georgia Southern!
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra, the Georgia Southern football podcast. I'm your co-host, Nathan Dominitz, and with me is our usual co-host, McLean Baxley. McLean, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. It's a new year.
Yeah, it is a new year. This is our first podcast of 2021, and welcome everybody to the new year. We're going to recap the year in Georgia Southern football for the next several minutes, and we'll start by, I'm going to just do my my overall take, and then McLean, I'll ask you yours. The team finished 8-5, and I think what made the season is winning that bowl game, beating Louisiana Tech in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl on December 23rd, especially by the final score of 38-3, really took put a positive finish to a season that the alternative of losing a bowl game or not playing in a bowl game would have meant that the last game would have been this regular season finale, which, because of all the rescheduling, was the December 12th home loss to Appalachian State, 34-26. I don't think anybody in Eagle Nation wanted that to be the finish. A loss to App State really would have carried over into a kind of a positive-negative thoughts all mixed up about the season, even if it was a winning record. So 8-5. A big bowl game victory over a Louisiana Tech team that wasn't a world beater, but had a run of state bowl victories. We'll talk about it more in depth, but that was what made a positive season rather than, you know, they didn't win a championship in the conference or anything like that, but they did have a nice season. What do you think, McLean?
Yeah, it is crazy. You know, last year entering bowl season, they were 7-5. Entering bowl season this year, they were 7-5. Last year that lost to Liberty in the Cure Bowl, and then this year they obviously, you know, won in dominant fashion against Louisiana Tech. It is crazy the difference in just overall attitude from the fans, from the coaches, from the players, from the media, you know, what one game does, you know, whether 7-6 or 8-5. You know, they still lost to their rival, you know, this year. You know, they still, you know, things didn't go their way. They still did not, you know, win the Sun Belt East or win the Sun Belt. But, you know, going out in the way they did, you know, winning in all facets of the game, there in New Orleans, sent out a lot of the seniors on a high note, sent out a lot of the guys that we'll talk about later, you know, that are transferring and, you know, closing their Georgia Southern chapter, sent them out on a high note. So, you know, going into next season, you know, they are one of, you know, a few teams that's going to enter 2021 with a 1-0 record. You know, end of the season on a one-game win streak. So that's something that, you know, a lot of teams in the country can't do. And they also, and the thing that I'm going to take away is my, you know, big positive takeaway was that they played 13 games. You know, last on Monday night when Alabama played Ohio State, they became the other team to play 13 games. And in a year where, you know, if we look back at, you know, March and April of last year when things were shutting down and we had no sports, and you told me that we were going to be having a full, you know, 12-game regular season, a full, you know, college football playoff, I would have doubted for sure. But the fact that, you know, Georgia Southern was able to get in 12 games, you know, traveling all the way from, you know, New York all the way to Georgia Southern to Texas and to Louisiana, and the way that they were able to just finish 13 games was remarkable. I think even if, you know, they would have gone 1-12 like we saw, you know, Texas State did, you know, went 1-11. Still just being able to accomplish that feat of playing games and having enough players safe and healthy to play games and compete in many of the games, you know, like we talked about all season about many of their losses were one-score losses. So they were in the games right to the end, and that's just something that's commendable, I think. You know, we're not supposed to be biased. We're not supposed to, you know, be fans, I guess, but just it's really honorable that, you know, they were able to, you know, just, you know, feel a team other than that first game against Campbell, which feels like years ago. But other than that first game when they were down 33 guys, you know, every game since then, they really had no real problems with COVID and coronavirus.
Yeah, I was just about to take us all back down memory lane to September 12th when it was a lot warmer. Maybe there's a little afternoon showers, but you had this you had a totally different feeling of what is ahead. We don't, you know, now that we know it, like you said, it is amazing that they got in 13 games. When you consider how it started with 33 players on the inactive list, there's I don't know about doom and gloom, but there's a feeling across the country that every game could be canceled at the last minute. And some of the games were canceled on short notice. Georgia Tech, I believe, even had a game canceled because they had a false positive test. They didn't even test positive, but they had to, they lost a game. So there was any number of scenarios, and somehow Georgia Southern cut through that. They did have to make some wheeling and dealing. You know, they did have to change the schedule a bit here and there. And that led to the App State game being the season finale rather than a national TV game on Wednesday or Thursday night, October 14th, I believe. So that Campbell game, you know, Campbell is supposed to be well outmanned, and they put a real scare into Georgia Southern, or at least the people that root for Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern won 27-26, and we don't need to go into all the details, but it came down to the last couple of plays and the onside kick. And one thing I do want to ask you about from that game is the progress of the defense, Scott Sloan's defense from that game, and you would hope they would progress throughout the season. It's just kind of remarkable how that young defense missing so many pieces with inactive players and injured players, like Kendrick Duncan was injured, didn't play, and they had lost two guys, Kendall Vildor to the NFL and the Chicago Bears. They had lost all conference players off that defense. They still had some coming back with Rashad Byrd and Raymond Johnson, the third. But that defense was kind of getting picked apart by the Campbell quarterback, Williams. And, you know, we didn't know what was ahead, but they had marked improvement and the young players stepped up. And it bodes well for the future if those players continue to progress and stay healthy, as always the case with football. But the defense, what do you think of the defense throughout the year?
Oh, like you said, it just got better and better, with especially a lot of young guys. You know, they ended up leading the country with 18 interceptions, and many of them came from Derek Canteen, a redshirt freshman from Augusta, a guy that only played, I think, two or three games in 2019, came in this year. And like you said, those first couple of games, you know, against Campbell, Louisiana there, even Louisiana Monroe. So, I mean, he didn't play a perfect season, of course, but, you know, just his progression throughout the season, and where he became a all Sun Belt and a first team All American All Freshman team by the Athletic, so and other outlets. I mean, he just blossomed as the season went on. You know, other guys, Gavin Adcock there on the defensive line when C.J. Wright was out for a couple games, he stepped in big time. And just really all over the defense, he got better and better each game to where. The last game of the season, they didn't allow a touchdown. The only team in the country that did not allow a touchdown in postseason. So, really great job from Scott Sloan in a time where many games it was up to the defense to bail out the offense that wasn't producing points or wasn't carrying the ball wasn't extending drives. You know, many times the defense had to step in and complete games, and they did almost every time. So, really great job from Scott Sloan, from Victor Cabral on the defensive line, and Justin Birdsong, another young guy that had two interceptions in the bowl game at corner. Right. So, I mean, and a lot of these guys are coming back, especially on that defense. If we can just talk about guys that are leaving, I guess going from this, but on that defense, you're going to have Daryl Baker Jr. Todd Bradley Glenn, two seniors that announced that they're coming back. And then, like we said, Birdsong, Canteen, all these guys, Adcock, all these guys that are coming back that are underclassmen that have had serious minutes in Division I, FBS football, conference games, App State, Georgia State, Army, these guys that, some of the best that you'll have to play against. And they held into the bargain for the most part. So, on defense, I mean, it's hard not to get excited when you're looking at this defense for 2021.
Yeah, I think Canteen finished with six interceptions. I mean, you couldn't put that on the board at the beginning of the season and say we expect you to get anywhere close to that. That's an outlier, but that's a good thing because that just shows you how confident and he played he might be a guy they stay away from in the future because he's a playmaker.
Definitely. I mean, multi-year captains. Both of them are going to be testing the NFL waters. You know, Johnson, he's going to the Hula Bowl, and Bird's playing in another senior showcase game. And these two guys that you know, Johnson especially is a guy that I think is built for NFL and going to have an impact. Maybe not this upcoming season, but, you know, he will have an NFL impact down the road. And these two guys that, like you said, they're not replaceable, but they are guys that you're going to be that other teams are going to say, hey, they're without these two guys. Now, it was the same thing last year, but on the back end, you know, coming into last year, you're losing Kendall Wilder and Montquavion Brinson at cornerback. Now we're going to target those guys. Well, now you've got experience there. Who's going to step up in the linebacker? Who's going to step up in the line? You've got Justin Ellis, the Syracuse transfer who really blossomed there the second half of the season. You know, Gavin Adcock, C.J. Wright, some of these guys that have experience and minutes that'll be relied on even more so as their defense now that you don't have that vocal leader and that stats leader of Rashad Byrd and Raymond Johnson III.
The way that the offense was not always clicking, it led to the offensive coordinator getting fired, Bob DeBess, and Doug Roos moving up, former offensive coordinator who was a tight end coach, moving back into the role of interim offensive coordinator, because the offense wasn't carrying its weight in perception or in reality. Either it needed to be better. And as you had written about from the beginning of the season, had the pieces for really optimistic to be. And then, of course, you had injuries and suspensions kind of picked apart that offense.
Yeah, and the guy that kind of shined through it all was Shai Wirtz again. A guy, like you said, you know, Wesley Kennedy goes down. J.D. King goes down, Logan Wright was down a couple of games, and you're really looking at this guy that's, you know, since day one in 2017 against Auburn, just each game gotten better and better and more reliable, and, you know, when it's a 3rd and 12 and, you know, you're not a passing team, he's going to be able to pick up those yards either with his legs or with his arm, even, you know, there in that in the bowl game coming off of shoulder injury, which, you know, he later said that he'd been dealing with shoulder injury all season. I mean, when he launched that bomb to Caleb Hood about, you know, 60-yard pass, I mean, I audibly yelled when I was watching the game at my house, and I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I who has a pretty healthy shoulder, pretty healthy arm, I don't think I can make that throw, much less this guy who was a game-time decision because of that same shoulder. It just showed his heart and just showed, you know, his impact, and, you know, he didn't win – you know, conference championship. He wasn't an All-American like we've seen with, you know, Tracy Ham and Adrian Peterson. But he's a guy that when, you know, 20 years from now, when people are talking about the all-time greats in Georgia Southern football history, I think it'd be foolish to leave out Shai Wirtz's name.
You could tell they missed him. And then when he came back, like you said, a game-time decision for the bowl game against, and, you know, the alternative, Justin Tomlin was already out injured. Miller Mosley was the third-string quarterback or fourth-string quarterback, depending on how you want to look at it, because he transferred to Louisville. Well, he went to the transfer portal and is going to Louisville, a Power 5 conference, you know, the ACC. But Shai's not going there as a quarterback, right?
There's very little evidence of, you know, option quarterbacks having success in the NFL at quarterback. You know, in recent years, you know, we see Jerick McKinnon, who was a quarterback at Georgia Southern, now, you know, one of the best, you know, running back one for San Francisco 49ers, and, you know, the list goes on. And so Shai realized that, you know, if I want to make it to the NFL, I can't make it as a quarterback at an option team. And, you know, Lunsford backed him in his decision. You know, he's been here 4 years, you know, won 2 bowl games, beat App State twice, has broken records, has done off the field, you know, work. He was a finalist for the war forward, you know, for off the field duties and stuff. So, you know, Shai realized that, you know, if I want to make it to the league, I've got to go as a receiver or a back or something. And so, you know, he worked out. You know, we saw videos pretty much almost exactly after the bowl right. win. You know, we saw him videos of working out with different you know, wide receivers coaches and different, you know, speed and strength coaches. And just improving his, you know, ball catching abilities, his route running, and got to the point where he was good enough to make a Power 5 roster. If we'll, you know, time will tell if he's, you know, a big piece in Scott Satterfield's offense next year with the Cardinals there in Louisville. But I mean, the fact that he was able to be recruited as a scholarship, as a grad transfer, I think speaks both to his athletic ability, but also just that locker room ability that we've seen on display the past 3 or 4 years in Statesboro, and having a voice, him being able to lead teams and fight for what's right, both, you know, as it regards to football and having wins, but also what's right off the field, because of the, you know, social justice and equality. So he's a guy that, you know, we talked with Lunsford about how he, you know, after the bowl game, Lunsford was pretty confident that was Shai's last game in blue and white, and he had his full backing to enter transfer portal or go on with life. So yeah, I mean, I wish him the best, you know. Yeah, I mean, I hope he does well there in Louisville. I mean, playing Clemson and Notre Dame, Miami is definitely a step up of playing, you know, Louisiana and Appalachian State. You know, if he's as determined as he was to succeed as quarterback, he'll have success for sure.
You know, he was here 5 years. He was 5 years in Statesboro, played 4 seasons. So he's a mature player, and if they can get him in the open field, whether it's as a wide receiver, as some sort of wildcat formation or appearance, whatever, just to get the ball in his hands with that quickness. So we look forward to talking about that next season. And McLean, I want to thank you for co-hosting throughout the season
another season of covering Georgia Southern, and you know, got, you know, a month or two until spring training starts.
And look out for more stories from McLean, myself, and Savannah.com, Savannah Morning News. And thanks for listening to the show.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swing on the way.